morning, Reverend.
The Bible reading for the morning is taken from the book of Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28. Matthew 15, 21 to 28. And it is titled, "The Gentile Shows Her Faith." And it reads, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.' And she said, 'Yes, Lord, yes, even the little dog eats the crumbs which falls from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour." May the Lord bless the reading in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, to you all. A warm welcome to our visitors, as was already mentioned. For those who are here for the first time or for the 101st time, we welcome you to the Lesser Church of Christ and invite and encourage you to come back and visit with us as often as you can, and know that a warm Christian welcome awaits you here. Your Bible and my Bible reads in Romans 16 and 16, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." And we salute you and encourage you. If you have any questions regarding anything that is said or studied, please feel free to ask any member. And if you have a Bible question, we'll do our best to give you a Bible answer. Today is a very special day because it will be, Lord willing, our last worship service in this place. We've been here for 7, 8 years.
9 years.
And the Lord has been faithful to us, and he has blessed us. And so we are indeed grateful and thankful for all his manifold blessings, and pray that as we embark on our new worship house, that he will be with us, and also that each of us, as the Bible says, to put our hands to the plow, not looking back, so that we could be found fit for the kingdom. This morning, it is my responsibility to preach the word to you, and invite and encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 through 28, which has already been read into your hearing. But by way of introduction, here in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, Jesus himself had, at this stage, come to the end, or beginning to come to the end of his earthly ministry and his public ministry, and is now retired to the region of the Gentiles. And is here we pick up in verse number 21, says he went from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he encounters this woman. He'd already taught the Jews during his public ministry that no food was unclean. He now moves to a region where the Jews thought the Gentiles were unclean, and he used this as an opportunity to teach a lesson. One of the things I'm mindful of as I feel the pulse of this congregation is that perhaps you are here this morning, and your cup is a less than full. Perhaps you're running on empty spiritually and sometimes can feel, or perhaps you feel right now a bit discouraged. You feel perhaps that God has forgotten you. Perhaps you have become frustrated in your Christianity and have questioned, is God still there? I want you to find yourself in this text and pray that something is said today to encourage you from the subject, What to do when your faith is tested. What to do when your faith is tested. And so we see in the text says that Jesus had come to this place in the region of Canaan, from Canaan. And this woman came crying out to Jesus in verse number 22. She said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." This woman, we could say, was bold. And she was also determined to get Jesus' attention. She addressed Jesus in a very Jewish way by calling him the Son of David. And what was the problem? Her daughter was severely demon-possessed. And we look, as we examine the text, we see how Jesus interacted with this woman. And it is sometimes that we can feel the same way. When we come to Jesus, he doesn't answer us right away. And so she came boldly and desperately to Jesus. She said, "My daughter is severely demon-possessed and she needed help." The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We see in this verse 16 the cousins of grace and mercy. Grace is getting what you not getting what you deserve or don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what you do deserve. And he says, "Come boldly." In other words, don't come arrogantly to the throne of grace, but rather come expectantly, come boldly, because Jesus has already made a way for us. And when there is trouble, you ought to come to find grace. Does anybody have a need this morning? Does anybody need some grace and mercy this morning? And so she came boldly. But the Bible says in verse 23, he answered her not a word. And you know, how would you feel if you've gone to Jesus and you've asked him for something and he's not answered you? And you know, somebody said that blessings delayed are not blessings denied. Jesus does not follow your timetable. He may not bless you when you want, how you want, or where you want. Amen. But if we trust him, and the message is talking about faith. What is faith? Well, faith is Hebrews 11 and verse number 1 gives us a definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is faith? Faith is believing in something that you cannot see. Faith is believing in something that you cannot see. Anybody seeing Jesus? And so he answered her another word. What happens when the Lord doesn't answer us when we ask him or come to him? Do we give up? Do we get discouraged? Would you say, well, I guess it's not interesting? And notice, if you will, and his disciples came in verse number 23 and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." First, Jesus has not answered them. Now the disciples are saying, "Get rid of her." Would you give up? You say, "Well, I tried that. I tried the Lord. They keep saying, you know, the Bible says, but it's not working." And then he answered in verse number 24, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." This woman was not an Israelite. She had no relationship with the Lord, and she had the nerve, the audacity to come to Jesus. But what was it about this woman? Jesus said, "My food is the house of Israel." At this time, perhaps we would have think that Jesus was being insensitive, or maybe, he was testing her faith. He was testing her faith. How desperate are you? How much do you need this? How much do you want it? And how willing are you to endure and to be persistent, even in the face of what seems to be opposition? She was standing before the Lord. And even his disciples were saying, "Send her away. perhaps, you know, you would look at it as a negative, but perhaps if you consider, perhaps they were saying the Lord was primarily focused on the house of Israel because it was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, whom God had made a covenant with, and so the Lord would not become distracted. You know, sometimes we read everything as negative, but sometimes maybe the Lord is testing our faith. Sometimes our greatest growth comes during our greatest crisis of faith. Let me say that again. Sometimes our greatest growth can come during our greatest crises of faith. Faith believes in what it doesn't see. Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know what you're up to. I don't know how long it's going to be until I get a response. But if I hang in there, and if I put my confidence in you, because God knows our heart, and he's not limited by time. But notice this woman, she wouldn't give up. She came in verse number 25, and the Bible says, worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. In Luke's gospel says, she fell down at his feet. She didn't give up. She likely got on her knees spiritually and got right to the point, I need your help, in other words, and would not be discouraged. We cannot but admire her patience and her persistence. When we move to 9 Sandy Lane, you ask for this. Now comes the text. Now comes the text. How much do you want it? Amen. How much do you need it, and how much are you willing to endure to keep it? Huh? Because today we're smiling, but tomorrow comes the test. Matter of fact, when we leave this, go out the door, it's showtime. It's showtime. Amen. And so, she would not be discouraged, but notice her attitude. Notice her attitude. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. So not only must we come in faith, but we must believe that God is who he says he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you have to cross your fingers, if you doubt, don't pray. Amen. Because doubt cancels out faith. If you say it, Lord, I know that you can do this. Lord, I don't care how long it takes. But you know, we want it yesterday, don't we? Don't we want to answer yesterday? And all of us want a yes. Amen. Let me say amen on this side and amen on this side. All of us want a yes, but sometimes the Lord says no. And sometimes he says not right now. Huh? You're going to have to wait for this. So she came boldly to the Lord. And notice James gets involved in James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Look like you want to know what I'm talking about. James chapter 2, verse 14. James chapter 2, I'll give you a chance to get there. And verse number 14, James asks some questions. And these questions are what to do to answer your question, what to do when your faith is tested. James 2:14 says, what does it profit, brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? What does it profit if he says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? A better translation say, can that faith save him? Verse 15, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one says to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give him the things which are needed for the body. We talked about this morning in our Bible class. Huh? God's going to judge us based on what we do and what we don't do. And all of what we do and what we don't do is a test of our faith. Isn't that interesting? Everything that you go through is a test of your faith, if you look at it that way. Well, why is this happening to me? Because God is testing your faith. And so, here's an opportunity here. He says, watch this now, in verse number 17, thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, guess what? It's dead. If you're going to pray for rain, what you got to do? Take an umbrella. If you want a job, you're going to have to get up and pound the pavement. If you want God to bless you, you got to go to work. We activate our faith when we go to work. Somebody said, well, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, listen, you see this clock here? You see this clock? If I took the battery out of this clock, is the clock working? But the interesting thing is, this clock without a battery is right twice a day and it's not doing anything. Amen. Wherever the clock stops, if it stops at 12, it's 12 o'clock twice a day, every day, and it's not doing anything. It's all faith like that. It's just sitting there. Faith without work is dead. You understand that? Show me your faith. Well, watch this now. And verse number 18 says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. But James says, show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith. How? By my works. You know what faith sometimes says? Faith is not, you know, sometimes we're looking for big steps. But if we can just inch ourselves a little bit closer and a little bit closer, you know, God will reward that effort. Even if we have to get knocked back every once in a while, when we get a little discouraged, when we get a little disheartened, when we start to waver. The Bible says somewhere, a double-minded man is what? Unstable. In all his faith, this woman had a single-minded focus and she would not give up. And so how often do we come to God? Or have you given up? Have you given all up all hope in whatever, what you might be going through something right now? Have you given up hope? Hope in what? Hope in the Lord. Not in the situation, hope in God. Because he will never let us down. Amen. But notice his next response. He answered in verse number 26, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Somebody said, well, what does that mean? Well, the little children would be a illustration of the house of Israel. And the little dogs was a derogatory way of describing the Gentiles. They say, listen, we can't give this good stuff for the Jewish people to use. Gentiles, huh? Would you have given up? I'm so embarrassed. How could he talk to her like that? I thought Jesus loved everybody. He does. But he continues to test her faith, and she would not. She would not get discouraged. Notice what she said to him. She said this in verse 27, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You know what that means? She said, we Gentiles don't sit at the table with the Jews to eat the bread as the children, but even the pet dogs under the table can eat some of the crumbs that fall from the table that the little children drop. That's interesting. See, listen, you may not get 100%, but will you be satisfied with the little that God will give you? Huh? Some of us pray and expect God. We give God 10% in prayer and expect 100% blessings. Don't act like I'm the only one. We give God 10% and we want God always to give us 100%. Huh? But he said, listen. Even if the crumbs fall from the table, I'll be satisfied with just that. Any way you bless me, Lord, I'll be what? But you better stop praying that prayer if you don't believe that.
I'm singing that song. Anyway, you bless me, Lord.
If you listen, Lord, if the best you can do is give me 2 slices of bread,
I'll be satisfied and I'll be thankful.
Huh? So what was the outcome? What was the outcome? Jesus answered and said to her, verse 22, "Oh woman, great is your faith." He didn't say your outfit.
He didn't say your hairdo. Great is your
faith. There are very few times in the Bible where Jesus commands a person's faith. This woman didn't have a name, but that wasn't important. It was what she did in her attitude, in her action, that got Jesus' attention. Great is your faith. And she says, he responded and he said this, "Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. But, you know, one of the things we need to do is dig a little bit deeper beneath the surface. This woman was the most unlikely person. What was so unusual about this situation? First of all, her sex. She was a woman. In the first century, she would be considered a second-class citizen. Even in today's world, in some places, women are looked down on. Go to Afghanistan. Amen. I've got a right. You don't have all that right everywhere. But Jesus, she had the nerve to come to Jesus. Secondly, her nationality. We said she was a Gentile. She was considered a little dog. Outside of the covenant relationship with Israel. But there's perhaps we will look at as negatives, but what were the positives? Her persistence of faith. Greater faith than the Jews who were rejecting and challenging Jesus' claims. Isn't that interesting? She wanted what the Jews did not want. She wanted what the Jews did not want. I'm going somewhere with this. She activated her faith by going to work even in the face of what would appear to be obstacles and discouragement. Isn't it interesting? In Israel, Jesus was trying to convince the people that he was the Messiah and was challenged by the Jews to prove it with a sign in chapter 16. But here in Gentile territory was a Gentile woman who was convinced he was the Messiah, and he could not discourage her efforts. Now, is it possible, those of us who are Christians in this place right now, is it possible that the people on the outside in the world have more faith than us? Is it possible that they're looking at us and they're saying, "Oh, I thought she was a Christian. I thought he was a Christian." But by the way they're carrying on, by the way they're acting, why should I become a Christian if that's the way you act? You see that? The Jews have the covenant, they have the promises, they have the blessings, and they were rejecting Jesus. But here was a Gentile, an outsider, who couldn't be discouraged and was convinced that Jesus was the Christ. His apparent attempt to put discouragement in her way was put to the test. And her great faith is what the Lord commanded. And so, is it possible, again, that when the Lord comes back, he will command those on the outside? Faith believes in what it doesn't see. And sometimes faith doesn't make sense. Sometimes faith takes longer than we expect. Sometimes faith will show up in the most unlikely place. But what made the difference? Her persistent faith. The book of Matthew says, "Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it will be open unto you." And you've been here long enough, that's ask and keep on asking. Seek, and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking, because heaven never closes. You may give up, but God will never give up. You may get tired, but God will never get tired. You may faint, but God will never faint. You may quit, but God will never quit. So, sometimes it may appear that everything and everyone is against us in this life. We can be tempted to give up and get discouraged. And again, as I said earlier, our greatest growth can sometimes come when we cannot figure it all out, when we can't fix everything ourselves, when our faith is tested. What will you do? Family crisis, perhaps you're going through something right now. Financial difficulties, work issues, physical challenges, bullying in school, the monkey on your back, perhaps you've got some habit that you're trying to get rid of, some hurt that nobody knows of, but Jesus knows. Huh? We may come here every Sunday with a smile on our face, but on the inside, we're dragging all that baggage in, and we're dragging all that baggage out. Is that perhaps a test of your faith? A test of my faith? I don't know about you, every once in a while I have that moment when I say to myself, was it worth it? And then I have to remind myself that it was worth it, because God, through Christ, thought it being special enough that he would go to the cross even before he even knew me, even before I knew who I was. And I want to leave this verse with you, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 28. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 28 asks two questions, and these are personal questions. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 28. The Bible says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. In other words, listen, it'll just blow your mind. Don't give up. Don't give in. And you stop and quit when God stops and quits giving up on you. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian. That is a test of your faith. You first of all, in order to become a Christian, you must do five things. First of all, you must hear the word of the Lord. That's Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Then you must believe that Jesus is the only one that can save you from your sins. That's John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then you must repent of your sins. That repentance is simply to change your mind with a view to changing your actions. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Number four, you must confess Jesus is Lord. That confession is simply that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10, which says, with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then you must complete your obedience by being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. That's not an outward sign of inward grace. It's not a suggestion. It is a command. Acts 2:38. Mark 16:15-16, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, which our brother quoted this morning from the Lord's table, talks about baptism. That baptism puts us into Christ, and then the Bible says we rise to walk in newness of life. And for those of us who are Christians, then we must remain faithful. How long? Until death. Even if it costs your life, Revelation chapter 2. And verse number 10, it means to stick to one thing and to be committed to continue, no matter what. Remain faithful until death, and you will receive the crown of life. If you're here this morning, is your faith being tested today, and you perhaps have become discouraged, you can come to Jesus. And if you're not being tested today, just keep on living. Just keep on living. Amen. There will be a test. Test of your patience sometimes. Amen. If you got a job like mine, amen. tested your patience. If you're here this morning, this afternoon, if the clock is right, and you're subject to the Lord's invitation, either of these two ways, we invite and encourage you to stand as we sing the song of invitation. Amen.